Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Lord's house today for worship. We're still in the season of Lent, and so we're looking at today a focus on love. The depth of love and what love looks like. We're going to see it in the Ten Commandments. We're going to see it in Romans 8, and we're going to see it as Jesus clears the temple of all kinds of obstructions. Order of service is found in your worship folder. Let's begin this morning with our opening hymn, number 224. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. As sons and daughters of the Lord, we are called by Him to repent of our sins. Let us go before our God and ask for His forgiveness. Apostle John declares, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Together, we then confess our sin. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Cleanse me and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Confess your sins, hear the good news of our salvation. The blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Dear children, your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So that even in our sin we might know your will for our lives. And you gave us your only Son to cleanse our lives of sin. For his sake, forgive us and renew us, so that we may serve you faithfully through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. First lesson today is the basis for the sermon. It's the law, the Ten Commandments from Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This is the word of our Lord. Continue with Psalm 19 according to the directions in the worship folder. Psalm 19. Second lesson this morning is from Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read this, but please really hear this, especially the first verse. This isn't just a verse we know. This is the heart of God who would do this for people like us. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's incredible. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. This is the word of our Lord. Please stand. The Gospel according to John 2. Some people make a little bit of a deal about this lesson, that Jesus was angry, righteous anger, and he was angry, and he had every reason to be angry. But I want you to think about it from a standpoint of love, that Jesus loved people so much, he wasn't willing to just be okay with what was going on, even though it was so terrible and everybody was doing it. He was willing to stand all on his own to help people reset to see what love really looked like by his actions. And so we read, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord. We join together in the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for hymn 287. In the name of our triune God, who so loves the world that he gave his one and only Son, brothers and sisters in him, the love that God has for people, it's just something incredible. Now, God knows that. God knows that he has this incredible love for people, but he knows something further. He knows that you and I and so many other people, that we forget that. And so at the beginning of Exodus 20, God reminds them. He says, I am the Lord your God. That word Lord, if you look, it's small caps. Big capital L, small cap O-R-D. That's a significant word on the pages of the Old Testament. That Hebrew word means the God who loves to act to save sinners. He loves to act to advance the gospel to make sure that there is a plan of salvation and that it is carried out. God loves people. First he says that. And he demonstrates it's not just words. He takes it a step further. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I want you to understand, without God's love, Israel would be nothing. Without God's love, Israel would still be enslaved, imprisoned, trying to make bricks without straw, burdened, oppressed in Egypt. But God's love did something. God's love was certainly word. He talked about it, but it was more than that. It was action. God went into action, into motion, brought the plagues, brought them out of Egypt, so that now here they are, settled at Mount Sinai. They're free. God's love took them from slavery and gave them freedom. Freedom to know God. In God's word and in God's actions, then, Israel saw exactly what love looks like. All they had to do was look at their Lord and look at how he treated them and what he did for them over the past 3 months from Egypt to freedom. And now, with that backdrop, that's the context. Who God is, what he loves to do for people who don't deserve it, and what he already did for them. With that context of such tremendous love, he gives them the Ten Commandments and says, now I want you to love just like this. To love like what? Well, to love in line with a depth of love that is reflective of the love God just showed them. There is a depth to love. You know this from 1 Corinthians 13. Such common verses. Verses 4 to 6, love is patient. There's a depth to that. You mean love doesn't get short with people? No, it's patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't boast. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It protects, hopes, trusts, never fails. There is an incredible depth to love that goes way beyond words. So that where that depth of love there is there, oh, this becomes something incredible. This becomes something impressive to the world, where people live in line with that love that God has shown. Even King David said, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. We want to do these things. Now just imagine those verses from 1 Corinthians 13. There's a reason why we use those verses in the marriage rite. We just had a wedding here yesterday. When husband and wife, soon to be, come forward, that's a part of the wedding liturgy. Why do we use those words? Because we want soon to be husband and wife to know that the words you're about to express to one another, they can't be just words. There's a depth of love in what you're saying that needs to be there, that goes back to the very depth of love that God has for you. And if that love isn't going to be there, what do you think that marriage is going to look like? That's going to be like Israel walking backwards from Mount Sinai and going back to Egypt. That marriage is very quickly going to devolve into feeling like slavery in prison again. Let me point out to you a good marriage, though. Back in the Old Testament, a man named Jacob went up and met his uncle Laban, and he found somebody that he wanted to marry named Rachel. And Laban said, okay, you can have her hand in marriage, but you have to work for her first, for the dowry. Jacob didn't have any money. He had to work 7 years. I want you to listen to what the Bible says about Jacob working those years. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. That's incredible. Where the heart is right with God, where love for God and that depth of love for God is there, doing these commandments, it's no sweat off our back. It's like a breeze. It feels like just a few days. It's King David again saying, I run in the path of your commands. You've set my heart free. I want to do this. But why is it today then that so many marriages today feel like prison? How is it that so many marriages and families were not ready for a shutdown and a pandemic a year ago, this time of year, and weren't used to being around each other and weren't used to loving each other? And those families devolved into something not healthy at all. You see, where love is lacking from God is the context and the backdrop. Where somebody is not grounded in Christ and they're not being filled with the depth of love that God has, do you know what life, not just marriage, not just family, but do you know what life in general is going to devolve to? There's a classic song about this. 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and a deep... That's not Jacob saying that. That's a completely different attitude. St. Peter, don't you call me. I'm not home. I've checked out. I owe my soul to the company's store. I'm back in prison, back in slavery. Life is an obligation and a burden, and I just want to give up. What changed? Love from God wasn't there. Where love from God isn't there, the depth of love that shapes our heart is not there either. And all of a sudden, these Ten Commandments become just a heavy load and weight. I want to tell you a story. My wife and I were teaching at Luther Prep, and we were tasked to take 8 kids to Antigua to do a VBS for a week and then to enjoy a week of fun. One of those kids was a jock extraordinaire, super athlete on the football team at Luther Prep. Well, I stayed back on Saturday, memorized my sermon. I was preaching down in Antigua that Sunday, and I was told the sermon can't be 17 minutes. These people walk a long way to church. You got to make your sermon at least 25 minutes. So I had work to do to lengthen my sermon. So I stayed back, but the rest of them went on a hike where there was a cliff where they got to jump into the beautiful water of Antigua. Well, Jojo, this athlete, wore ankle weights. He was just used to doing it, but he didn't realize the hike was going to be so long. It took, I think it was about 2 miles to go from where the cars were to where the cliff was. And so when he jumped in after that workout that he didn't even realize he was getting, he started swimming toward shore, which was a little ways away, and he started flailing. His muscles cramped up. Couldn't do it. Somebody actually had to swim out to rescue him and bring him to shore, or we would have lost one that day. Do you understand the burden of the law, of the commandments, if the love of Christ isn't there? It's as if there's a 10-pound, one for each of the commandments, weight that's around your wrists, It's around your ankles, and actually that's around every single part of your body. Look at the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. That's a huge weight that's put over your entire person, how you think, what you feel, over your heart, over what every part of your body does. Second commandment, that's a huge weight that puts a weight right around your mouth. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What you say about God, the cursing and swearing that comes out, God has something to say about that, and it becomes a burden. Remember the Sabbath day. Boy, now there's a weight around my plans and my schedule and where I am on a certain day of the week. The fourth commandment has something to say to kids. You are to honor your parents, and you are not to rule the roost and throw your tantrums. At the same time, it puts a weight on parents. Don't let your kids be out of line. You are not to worship your children and set them above you. You are to be the leader and authority for God in that family. Fifth commandment puts a weight on my wrists. You can't murder, and it puts a weight in my heart. You can't even hate somebody. That's sinning against this commandment. The sixth commandment places a weight on all of our sexual parts. Doesn't matter whether you're married, doesn't matter whether you're single. It's on everybody. Married people, you are supposed to honor your own marriage and love your spouse. Single people, you are to love marriage by honoring other people's marriages and keeping your eyes to yourself. And as we said in 1 Corinthians 13, waiting patiently for the Lord to provide that spouse for you. Seventh commandment places more burden on my wrists. I'm not supposed to take stuff. And even on my feet, I'm not supposed to go get stuff that's not mine, that God hasn't given. Eighth commandment, another weight around my mouth. What I say about you, what you say about me, the way we talk about each other, whether it's negative or positive. The ninth and tenth commandments, the way I covet and scheme to get stuff. Boy, my neighbor has it. I should have it too. And maybe abuse my money to go get stuff that God hasn't given again. Do you understand the terrible burden? That's like an eternal exercise routine. There are a lot of people that don't like to exercise. I get it. But for even those who do like to exercise, one of the best things about the exercise is when it's done. And the muscles can relax. You've stretched them, you've pushed them, and now they get that healthy break. And they get to build themselves up again from being pushed. But what the law of God does is it oppresses constantly. The weights don't come off the heart, the hands, the feet. And so it becomes an eternal exercise routine that never, never ends. Imagine what that would feel like. A soul that's just constantly beat up and oppressed. Actually, maybe you know what that feels like. Who here has ever exercised just the first commandment faithfully? Let's just even have one today. Just the first commandment. Have you done that every second? Honored God, no other gods? What about the fifth commandment? Have you never, ever hated somebody? Have you never, ever had an axe to grind with somebody where you felt like holding a grudge was proper? And you thought God would be okay with that? The eighth commandment, so easy to abuse. It's just a few words. This person did me harm, so I'm going to ruin their reputation. Sixth commandment, you're telling me your eyes have never wandered? On the internet, you never looked at some of those ads that pop up so strangely on the computer? Even if you're at an innocent site? You never lingered a little bit too long. You never coveted the marriage somebody else had, thought the grass was greener to be single once you were married, or the grass was greener married when you were single? Wanting what somebody else had? Kids, have you always honored your parents and given them the respect and love that God says? You mean you've never stolen from God by withholding from the offering plate because you love yourself more? God wants you to love like this. They're not the 10 suggestions. This is the law. This is what love looks like. And if we're not going to love like that, and if we're not going to do this exercise routine, then we go back to 1 Corinthians 13, and you know what your life looks like? Just a resounding gong. Just a clanging cymbal. You're claiming something, but there's no substance there. There's no depth. It's just hollow. It's just empty. I hear too many people right now that are growing away from Christ. And their passion for Christ and for church is waning. Do you want to restart it? Do you want to restart the love and jumpstart it again in your marriage? Do you want to get your family back on track? Do you want to get things more like the way maybe they used to be, at least back when you first pledged and vowed your promises to each other? Do you want to get life back with God the way it once was and that joy that was there in your heart? Do you know where it starts? Look at the one who kept the commandments. Now you've seen in the sermon just how hard and oppressive they can be for sinful people. But there is one person who did these commandments perfectly. There is one person who exercised them every single second of his life, who kept them faithfully. There's never been somebody like him before him, and there's never been anybody or will be somebody who comes like him after him. Jesus loved God perfectly. Jesus loved people perfectly. He loved his parents. He loved the rich. He loved the poor. He loved the Pharisees. He loved the tax collectors. He loved the prostitutes. He loved the homosexuals. He loved his enemies. He loved those who hated him. He kept teaching faithfully to all of these people. He loved little kids. He loved the elderly. He loves you. Do you know how we know? It's not only that he obeyed the commandments, but it said he was willing to die for people, for sins that he didn't even commit, for everybody who broke the commandments, to forgive you your sins. Do you understand the depth that's there? Because I think when you and I get to heaven, and when you rub elbows with Jesus and you get to go ask him, Jesus, you had 33 years on earth. How did you do it? How did you exercise these commandments so perfectly? Do you know what I think he's going to say? Something like Jacob. He just felt like a couple days. Because I loved you. And in line with the picture of the Bible, because I wanted to marry you. I wanted you to have eternal life. I wanted you to have all of this so that in the love that God has for you, do you know what you receive? First and foremost, you receive that love through faith in Jesus. Secondly, you receive the forgiveness of sins. For all the times you and I break every second the commandments, do you know what else you receive? You receive Romans 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means there are no eternal punishments or consequences that stand against you. When Jesus went to the cross, he suffered hell. He took the entire thing, so it's all done. He suffered the eternal. There is now, against you, against me, through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, nothing that stands against you. All it is love from God. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you up out of the land of slavery. so that you're free. You're free in Jesus Christ. And so what he sets before you today in these Ten Commandments is nothing that you have to do. You know what it does? It takes the weights off of our wrists. It takes the weights off of our feet. It takes the weight off of our heart. You mean I'm free? There's no obligation. There's no have to. I don't have to go to church. I get to. I get to hear about God's love in church. I get to hear the one who overturns the tables of my heart again and puts things in their proper place. I get to hear about the one true God who loves me, the only one who exists. I get to keep his name holy. I get to learn how to honor my parents better. I get to learn how to love my enemies and love people better and do them no harm. I get to learn how to love my spouse greater every time we come to church. I get to learn how to be appreciative for the things I have and the things I don't have. I get to learn how better to talk about my neighbor and my brothers and sisters and build them up. Single people get to learn how to be patient too. And trust the Lord and wait for his timing. All this we get to do to thank God and praise him. Because he loves us. That takes us right back to where we started, doesn't it? The love that God has for sinners like you and me. It's just something incredible. And with the context of that love, let's love him like this. By doing the Ten Commandments, to his glory, amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus, this past Friday, Richard Heather Sr. was laid to rest. We praise you for your love and your faithfulness to him over his 97 years and for bringing him now to his heavenly home. Support his family going forward with your promises and with the same love and faithfulness. We also praise you for the wedding of Scott and Shira yesterday. Help them with the depth of love that comes from you so that their home flourishes and their marriage in you is truly blessed. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your love displayed in Jesus Christ. That love won us to faith and motivates us for godly living. Your love is why we responded with prayer and offering. We praise and thank you for the tremendous response of your people. To date, your people have pledged and gifted about $1.5 million. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Use this to further your kingdom. To that end, Lord, bless our leaders, our people, our plans and decisions going forward. Send us your wisdom in the spirit of unity. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the hymn. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Thank you. Morning, everyone. Welcome to guests and visitors who are here today. Love having you with us. Please come and join in with us again. A few announcements to share with you. Bible studies coming up just in the gymnasium. We're going to wrap up Zechariah today. We were going to try to wrap it up last Sunday. Didn't get far enough, so we will wrap it up today. And then Pastor Bodie is going to start with the topic of evangelism this coming Sunday, a week from today, and that'll be a 3 or 4 week Bible study that he'll have. As far as other announcements, we actually have a Lancer link to show you for today.
Hello, and welcome to Lancer Link number 39, and greetings from Manitowoc Lutheran High School. We are so thankful for the many blessings that God has given to us all. In particular, we here at Lutheran High are very thankful for in-person learning. We are still healthy here at school and happy to be educating the next generation of God's leaders face-to-face. We pray that our Lord continues to bless this effort. Lutheran High is a parental choice school. This means that the cost of tuition can be fully covered for those families that qualify. The registration window is open now until April 15th. Contact the school office or visit our website if you have any questions about this program. We have another new teacher to introduce you to. Let's get to know a little bit more about her right now.
Hello, my name is Hannah Reardon. I grew up in Glenview, Illinois, and attended grade school and church in Morton Grove, Illinois. For high school, I packed up and went to Luther Prep. That was my first experience living in Wisconsin. Who'd have thought it wouldn't be the last? After approximately 4 years of I don't know what to do with my life, I found myself headed up to New Ulm to continue my studies in Spanish and, of course, in God's Word, and a little bit of Greek for funsies. I've struggled many times over whether or not I really wanted to be a teacher, largely because I wasn't sure school was somewhere I wanted to be forever. But I think that's also what motivated and continues to motivate me to teach. My dream is that school would be somewhere that my students want to be, somewhere they are loved and where they are constantly reminded of God's love for them. I pray that school is a place where that love can encourage students to let their lights shine and where they can learn to grow in ways that let them do just that. After my sophomore year of college, I spent a year teaching English in Peru. That experience is what really solidified my desire to be a teacher. I realized that having students and loving them and helping them grow and learn was a pretty cool career to have. I'm thankful to get to live out that dream right here in Manitowoc this school year.
Thanks to Ms. Reardon for helping us get to know her a little bit. As her one-year call expires this summer, we wish her God's richest blessings in her future endeavors. There are lots of exciting things happening in the Lancer family this spring, and Lord willing, these events will happen as planned. Lutheran High will be hosting an open house on Thursday, March 11th, from 4 until 7 p.m. This is a great opportunity to learn about Lutheran High, meet our staff, and take a guided tour of our campus. Please share this with any friends or neighbors that might be interested in learning about our school. It's time to think spring. And our spring showcase event is scheduled for Saturday, March 20th at Knox's Silver Valley. This year, there'll be a full dinner and live entertainment, but not the tasting event as in past years. We will still have the silent and live auction. Planning is underway for a great event, and we hope to see you there. The Lutheran High Drama Department will present the Enchanted Bookshop musical on the last weekend in March. There will be a special live stream children's theater presentation for the Lakeshore Lutheran grade schools on that Friday morning. Sadly, none of our performances will be open to the public. Each student will have 2 tickets per show. However, each show will be live streamed and the dates and the times are on your screen. Our traditional Easter concert will take place again this year. However, it will not be open to the public. The procedure will be the same as a musical. We will live stream the concert on Wednesday, March 31st at 7 o'clock p.m. Please tune in to the Lutheran High live stream channel and worship along with the whole Lancer family. Please put Saturday, May 22nd into your calendar. This is the date of our Prism concerts and art show. The concerts are at 4 and 7 p.m. These concerts have all of our Lutheran High choirs and bands, as well as many solo and small group acts as well. As of right now, we hope to have these concerts live and in person with limited audience. We will also be live streaming both concerts as well. Graduation will take place on May 29th at 10 a.m. Please watch for exact details in the Lancer Express and on our website. While many things are uncertain in the current world in which we live, there is something that is a sure thing. Jesus' perfect life, innocent suffering and death, and his resurrection is for each of us. As we enter this Lenten season, may God grant us all in the Lancer family a quiet observance of what Jesus did for us and the glorious celebration of our salvation on Easter Sunday. Thank you for watching. Our next video will be in early June.
Then we have congregational leaders who are going to come forward and talk about the results of the Catholic campaign. We have Mr. Todd Martin, chairman of our congregation, and then Mr. Corey Schrader, who has just finished being head elder, and he was also in charge of the Catholic campaign as well.
Good morning. I'm honored and excited to give you all an update on the results of the campaign. Pastor alluded to that in his prayer, and so I want to expand a little bit on that and give you a little bit more information. Back on January 10th, we began the formal two-month Growing Forward Capital campaign to expand our early childhood ministry here at St. Paul's with the ultimate goal.